The Sunday Sermons of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, Sermon 18 for the fourth Sunday of Lent, on the tender compassion which Jesus Christ entertains towards sinners. Make the men sit down. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We read in this day's Gospel that having gone up into a mountain with his disciples and seeing a multitude of 5,000 persons who followed him because they saw the miracles which he wrought on them that were diseased, the Redeemer said to St. Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Lord, answered St. Philip, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient that everyone may take a little. St. Andrew then said, "There is a boy here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are these among so many?" But Jesus Christ said, "Make the men sit down," and he distributed the loaves and the fishes among them. The multitude were satisfied, and the fragments of bread which remained filled 12 baskets. The Lord wrought this miracle through compassion for the bodily wants of these poor people. But far more tender is his compassion for the necessities of the souls of the poor, that is, of sinners who are deprived of the divine grace. This tender compassion of Jesus Christ for sinners shall be the subject of this day's discourse. Through the bowels of his mercy towards men who groaned under the slavery of sin and Satan, our most loving Redeemer descended from heaven to earth to redeem and save them from eternal torments by his own death. Such was the language of St. Zachary, the father of the Baptist, when the Blessed Virgin, who had already become the mother of the eternal Word, entered his house. Through the bowels of the mercy of our God, in which the Orient from on high hath visited us, Jesus Christ, the good pastor, who came into the world to obtain salvation for us as sheep, has said, "I am come that they may have life, and may have it more abundantly." Mark the expression, "more abundantly," which signifies that the Son of Man came on earth not only to restore us to the life of grace which we lost, but to give us a better life than that which we forfeited by sin. Yes, for as St. Leo says, the benefits which we have derived from the death of Jesus are greater than the injury which the devil has done to us by sin. The same doctrine is taught by the Apostle, who says that where sin abounded, grace did more abound. But my Lord, since thou hast resolved to take human flesh, would not a single prayer offered by thee be sufficient for the redemption of all men? What need then was there of leading a life of poverty, humiliation, and contempt for 33 years, of suffering a cruel and shameful death on an infamous gibbet, and of shedding all thy blood by dint of torments? I know well, answers Jesus Christ, that one drop of my blood or a simple prayer would be sufficient for the salvation of the world, but neither would be sufficient to show the love which I bear to men. And therefore, to be loved by men, when they should see me dead on the cross for love of them, I have resolved to submit to so many torments and to so painful a death. This, he says, is the duty of a good pastor. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. I lay down my life for my sheep. O men, what greater proof of love could the Son of God give us than to lay down his life for us as sheep? In this we have known the charity of God, because he hath laid down his life for us. No one, says the Savior, can show greater love to his friends than to give his life for them. Greater love than this no man hath, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But thou, O Lord, hast died not only for friends, but for us who were thy enemies by sin. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. O infinite love of our God, exclaims St. Bernard, to spare slaves, neither the Father has spared the Son nor the Son himself, to pardon us who were rebellious servants. The Father would not pardon the Son, and the Son would not pardon himself, but by his death has satisfied the divine justice for the sins which we have committed. When Jesus Christ was near his passion, he went one day to Samaria. The Samaritans refused to receive him. indignant at the insult offered by the Samaritans to their master, St. James and St. John, turning to Jesus, said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But Jesus, who was all sweetness, even to those who insulted him, answered, You know not of what spirit you are. The Son of Man came not to destroy souls, but to save. He severely rebuked the disciples. What spirit is this, he said, which possesses you? It is not my spirit. Mine is the spirit of patience and compassion. For I am come not to destroy, but to save the souls of men, and you speak of fire, of punishment, and of vengeance. Hence, in another place, he said to his disciples, Learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart. I do not wish you to learn of me to chastise, but to be meek, and to bear and to pardon injuries. How beautifully has he described the tenderness of his heart toward sinners in the following words. What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he lose one of them, does he not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulder, rejoicing. And coming home, called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. But, O Lord, it is not thou that oughtest to rejoice, but the sheep that has found her pasture and her God. The sheep indeed, answered Jesus, rejoicing at finding me, her shepherd. For far greater is the joy which I feel at having found one of my lost sheep. He concludes the parable in these words, I say to you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. There is more joy in heaven at the conversion of one sinner than upon 99 just men who preserve their innocence. What sinner then can be so hardened as not to go instantly and cast himself at the feet of his Savior, when he knows the tender love with which Jesus Christ is prepared to embrace him and carry him on his shoulders as soon as he repents of his sins. The Lord has also declared his tenderness towards penitent sinners in the parable of the prodigal child. In that parable, the Son of God says that a certain young man, unwilling to be any longer under the control of his father, and desiring to live according to his caprice and corrupt inclinations, asked the portion of his father's inheritance, which fell to him. The father gave it with sorrow, weeping over the ruin of his son. The son departed from his father's house. Having in a short time dissipated his substance, he was reduced to such a degree of misery that to procure the necessities of life, he was obliged to feed the swine. All this was the figure of a sinner who, after departing from God and losing the divine grace and all the merits he had acquired, leads a life of misery under the slavery of the devil. In the Gospel, it is added that the young man, seeing his wretched condition, resolved to return to his father, and the father, who is a figure of Jesus Christ, seeing his son return to him, was instantly moved to pity. His father saw him and was moved with compassion. And instead of driving him away, as the ungrateful son had deserved, running to him, he fell upon his neck and kissed him. He ran with open arms to meet him, and through tenderness fell upon his neck and consoled him by his embraces. He then said to his servants, Bring forth quickly the first robe and put it on him. According to St. Jerome and St. Augustine, the first robe signifies the divine grace, which in addition to new celestial gifts, God, by granting pardon, gives to the penitent sinner. He put a ring on his finger. God gives him the ring of repose, the ring of a spouse. By recovering the grace of God, the soul becomes again the spouse of Jesus Christ. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. Bring hither the fatted calf, which signifies the Holy Communion, or Jesus, in the Holy Sacrament, mystically killed and offered in sacrifice on the altar. Let us eat and rejoice. But why, O Divine Father, is so much joy at the return of so ungrateful a child? Because, answers the Father, this my son was dead, and he has come to life again. He was lost, and I have found him. The tenderness of Jesus Christ was experienced by the sinful woman, according to St. Gregory, Mary Magdalene, who had cast herself at the feet of Jesus and washed them with her tears. The Lord, turning to her with sweetness, consoled her by saying, "Thy sins are forgiven, thy faith hath made thee safe. Go in peace. Child, thy sins are pardoned, thy confidence in me has saved thee. Go in peace." It was also felt by the man who was sick for 38 years and who was infirmed both in body and in soul. The Lord cured his malady and pardoned his sins. "Behold," says Jesus to him, "thou art made whole, sin no more, lest some worse thing happen to thee." The tenderness of the Redeemer was also felt by the leper who said to Jesus Christ, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Jesus answered, "I will, be thou made clean." As if he said, "Yes, I will that thou be made clean, for I have come down from heaven for the purpose of consoling all. Be healed then according to thy desire." And forthwith his leprosy was cleansed. We also have a proof of the tender compassion of the Son of God for sinners in his conduct towards the woman caught in adultery. The scribes and Pharisees brought her before him and said, "This woman was even now taken in adultery. Now Moses in the law commands us to stone such a one, but what sayest thou?" And they did this, as St. John says, tempting him. They intended to accuse him of transgressing the law of Moses if he said that she ought to be liberated. And they expected to destroy his character for meekness if she said that she should be stoned. But what was the answer of our Lord? He neither said that she should be stoned nor dismissed, but bowing himself down, he wrote with his finger on the ground. The interpreters say that probably what he wrote on the ground was a text of Scripture admonishing the accusers of their own sins, which were perhaps greater than that of the woman charged with the adultery. He then lifted himself up and said to them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." The scribes and Pharisees went away one by one, and the woman stood alone. Jesus Christ, turning to her, said, "Hath no one condemned thee? Neither will I condemn thee. Go and now sin no more. Since no one has condemned you, fear not that you shall be condemned by me, who have come on earth not to condemn but to pardon and save sinners. Go in peace and sin no more." Jesus Christ has come not to condemn but to deliver sinners from hell as soon as they resolve to amend their lives. And when he sees them obstinately bent on their own perdition, he addresses them with tears in the words of Ezekiel, "Why will you die, O house of Israel? Thy children, why will you die? Why do you voluntarily rush into hell when I have come from heaven to deliver you from it by my death?" He adds, "You are already dead to the grace of God. But I will not your death. Return to me, and I will restore you the life which you have lost. For I desire not the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Return ye and live." But some sinners who are immersed in the abyss of sin may say, "Perhaps if we return to Jesus Christ, he will drive us away." No, for the Redeemer has said, "In him that cometh to me I will not cast out. No one that comes to me with sorrow for his past sins, however manifold and enormous they may have been, shall be rejected." Behold how, in another place, the Redeemer encourages us to throw ourselves at his feet with a secure hope of consolation and pardon. "Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Come to me, all ye poor sinners who labor for your own damnation and groan under the weight of your crimes. Come and I will deliver you from all your troubles." Again he says, "Come and accuse me, saith the Lord. If your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. And if they be red as crimson, they shall be made white as wool. Come with sorrow for the offenses you committed against me. And if I do not give you pardon, accuse me." As if he had said, "Upbraid me, rebuke me as a liar. For I promise that though your sins were of scarlet, that is, of the most horrid enormity, your soul might, by my blood, in which I shall wash it, will become white and beautiful as snow. Let us then, O sinners, return instantly to Jesus Christ. If we have left him, let us immediately return before death overtakes us in sin and sends us to hell, where the mercies and graces of the Lord shall, if we do not amend, be so many sores which shall lacerate the heart for all eternity. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Alphonsus de Liguori, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.